I've been to a lot of places. I have seen a lot of things. Mine eyes have viewed the beauty of so many wondrous things. From the flowers in the springtime, in a valley deep and wide, in the majesty of mountains, by the ocean's swelling tide. But these things soon fade away, they seem to grow so small, when I compare them to the greatest miracle of all. For the greatest thing my eyes have seen is a changing of a life, when a sinner falls down on his knees and gives his heart to Christ. Nothing moves my soul to tears like the joy redemption brings, and to witness true salvation is the greatest thing my eyes have ever seen. I have seen the dying, hopeless soul find joy and peace and love. I have seen them pass from death to life by the power of Jesus' blood. From the wealthy born in riches to the poor and hopeless man, from the oldest one to the youngest child, receive salvation's plan. There are many things I'd like to see before this journey ends, but they can't compare to what I'll see when a soul is born again. For the greatest thing my eyes have seen is a changing of life, when a sinner falls down on his knees and gives his heart to Christ. Nothing moves my soul to tears like the joy redemption brings, and to witness true salvation is the greatest thing my eyes. Nothing moves my soul to tears like the joy redemption brings, and to witness true salvation is the greatest thing my eyes have ever seen.
Hebrews chapter 12 tonight. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll read the scripture before you're seated. What a joy it is to be here again at Pacific Baptist Church. What an exciting place, I tell you. And I'm so glad to have the opportunity to be here in church again tonight. Brother Esposito and I have been friends for a good number of years. Had the privilege to go by and visit with him today, my wife and I and girls, and saw he and his wife, and Joseph was there, and enjoyed that. Brother Nichols and April went. We had a sweet time of fellowship. I enjoyed that. It's exciting to see your building. I love it. I love it. Now, I like to build. I like to build. I carry certs in one pocket and Rolaids in the other pocket when you're in a building program. I'm going to tell you what they tell me when we're in a building project. Here's what they tell me all the time. I get tired of hearing this. Preacher, just be patient now. Just be patient. And it always takes twice longer than the preacher thinks it does. It always takes twice as much money. What a blessing. I mean, to see that coming along step by step, and I appreciate the work that you're doing in that. I'm so glad that our fellows got to have the opportunity to play in the basketball tournament again. I've enjoyed watching the games today. Mighty good basketball players out there, and it's good to have all the other guests and teams that are here. And I remember going to play basketball in basketball tournaments. But now I don't remember staying in motels. We always stayed in the church, and I always liked to stay in a church that had padded pews. That way we didn't have to just sleep on something hard, you know, and we got a pew to sleep on. But anyway, it's a lot of fun and great memories. I remember that. I remember it, and so good to see you young men. And appreciate you being in Christian school. You're mighty blessed to have the opportunity to attend a Christian school and to be able to be trained in the way that you ought to be. I want to say this before I preach. I can't tell you how much I admire Brother Myers. I mean that with all my heart. I mean a great admiration for him, for his love for the church, his love for the Lord, his love for Brother Esposito, and these men been working together. I asked him today, how long have you known one another? And he said, when we were in grade school, we knew one another from grade school. And all 25 years, 27 now, working together here, and I admire greatly, have a great respect for him and his family. And I appreciate you folks. Folks, can I just say this? I don't know many churches that could go through what you've gone through and to still see you here on a Thursday night, building full, all the folks outside that are out there smoking, listening, and paying attention. And I'm just impressed. It's just amazing. And I thank you for your faithfulness, and you're a challenge and example to the rest of us in America. And we appreciate your testimony. We pray for you. Pray for you every week. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse number 2 is our text verse. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I love that phrase, the author and finisher. The author and finisher. Many claim to be the Savior. Many claim to be the Christ. They love their people. They live for their people. And they died for their people. But Christ finished. He rose from the grave and is seated at the right hand of the Father, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. That's the line I want you to see. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd meet with us tonight, give us what we need. I certainly want to be a blessing, and Lord, if you would just pick me up and use me as a tool in your hand to accomplish your will, that's all I desire tonight. I desire to be a blessing. I want to be an encouragement to these who are here, those who are members here, and those who are visiting in the service tonight. Bless, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Bible tells us, it says, looking unto Jesus. So, Jesus is our example. We look to Jesus. Now, let me point out something here. The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now, when we think of Christ, sometimes we think of just God, and we don't think of the fact that Jesus took upon him human flesh. So everything that you and I would feel and experience by the beating, by the buffeting, by the shame, the mockery, and the crucifixion, everything that you and I would feel if we went through that, Jesus felt that. Somehow we dismiss the fact of what Jesus endured when he went to the cross of Calvary. Now, the Bible tells us here, I believe, a great secret in accomplishing the will of God, and not just accomplishing the will of God, but making it through the difficult times. The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him, and then the Bible uses the word endured. Now, there's no enjoyment in enduring. Enduring. You want it to end. You want the pain to end. You want the suffering to end. But the only thing that caused Jesus to endure that, the Bible says there was a joy, and I love every word of this, the joy that was set before him. It was placed there. So you know what the Bible is saying? The Bible is saying that he put a joy before him. What was that joy? It was your salvation and mine. It was the fact that you and I were being redeemed to our Heavenly Father because of the price that was paid, and God was satisfied. His holiness was satisfied as Jesus paid the price of our salvation. He paid for our sin. That was the joy that was set before him, and it caused him to be able to endure, though he despised the shame and he suffered greatly. He did so because there was a joy set before him. Now, here's the message tonight. I want to ask you a question. What joy is set before you? What joy is set before you? What is set before you that will cause you to keep going when life is difficult? What will keep you in church? What will keep you in the will of God? What will keep you going? What joy do you have your mind and your eyes and your heart set on that will help you to go through the difficult times in life? The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Let me give you an idea of what I'm talking about. There are many things that I keep before me. For example, outside my office in the waiting area, outside my office there are several pictures and plaques and things, and they're not just there for decorations, they're motivations for me. For example, I have several copies of church charters that are in the hallway outside our church. Several years ago, I set a goal to start 50 churches, independent, fundamental, soul-winning, bus running, Baptist churches, could I get some help, and in Kentucky. That's why that was my goal, 50 churches. Russell Anderson came to preach with me in a series of tent revival meetings in the summertime, and we were talking about that goal. I told him, I said, Brother Anderson, there are many family-type churches, and there are many good churches that preach the gospel if sinners come in, but there's not many churches that are soul-winning churches, and the Great Commission is not come and we'll preach the gospel to you. The Great Commission is go and preach the gospel to every creature. And so we began having tent revivals, and from that we began to start churches. The greatest need we had was preachers. We needed preachers with a heart to start and help plant the churches. So Dr. Anderson and I, we began to talk about the founding of Commonwealth Baptist College. That was 1997, 1998, and then in 1999, we started having our first classes. Now, let me tell you, outside my office in one hallway are charters of several churches that we have started. After a church gets to the place and they meet the obligations that they can have their charter service, that means they can pay their own bills. I don't pay anything for them anymore. They can pay their own bills, then they charter. And we get a copy of that charter and we put that in the hallway. Now, what I do, I see that charter. You know what it does? It helps me to do things I don't like to do, but those charters are joys that are set before me to help me to keep going. For example, I don't like raising money to keep the college going. I don't like a lot of things that I do, but those things are necessary to do that we may accomplish something that is a joy in the will of God that keeps us going through the difficult times. What joys are set before you? Outside my office is a picture of my father. If you've heard me preach three times, you've heard me tell about my father. My dad was my preacher, and he was my hero. My father passed away at the age of 40. He got cancer at the age of 38. I love to hear my dad preach every Saturday night. I shine my dad's shoes, and I sat on the front row, and he was my hero. I love my dad very much, and I have. My dad died in August of 1985. Now, I don't want to just run well. I want to finish well. And I keep that picture there, and it reminds me of a man who didn't just run well, but he finished well, and that is a joy set before me. So when temptation comes, I didn't say if temptation comes, I said when temptations come, I look at the joy that is set before me, and I say, I can endure these things because I don't want to just run well, I want to finish well. Now I ask you tonight, what joys are set before you? I have pictures of my wife and my children that are set before me. It is a joy set before me. The devil wants to destroy my marriage. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to wreck our homes. He wants to ruin our families. And there are some things that we must decide. Hey, I want to tell you something. If you're going to rear children, there's some play you have to say no to. There are some things that you have to say no to if you're going to spend the time in rearing your family and the nurture scripture and admonition of the Lord, and I keep that joy set before me, because that joy set before me helps me to go through some difficult times. I ask you tonight, what joy is set before you? I have a copy of a state law hanging in the hallway of my office. Several years ago, in the state of Kentucky, there was a lady on her way to the hospital to give birth to a child. A drunk driver hit her in the car, and it killed the baby, but it did not kill her. The state of Kentucky did not recognize an unborn child as a child. And so there were no charges filed. It would be no different than her breaking her arm. Another time, a woman was on her way to the hospital. A drunk driver hit her and killed both mother and child in the womb. It was one charge of manslaughter, and the baby didn't count for anything. So a group of lawmakers got together, and they put together a bill entitled the Fetal Homicide Bill, and it recognizes life in the womb. I remember one of the arguments as one of the lawyers who attends our church, he's a state representative, and he showed a picture of two horses, two mares. He said this mare, he showed the picture of, sold at a Keeneland sale for $400,000. This mare is the same age and the same value as this mare, as this, but this mare sold for $1 million. The only difference in this mare and this mare is this one has been bred to a champion racehorse. You see, in Kentucky, we know when life begins when it comes to horses. And that was the presentation. However, when it came time to vote, we couldn't get enough votes in the House to pass the fetal homicide bill. It just so happened that the state representative that needed to vote or cast the deciding vote lived in my county. I went to see him. His name is Mr. Dameron, Robert Dameron. And I said to him, I said, now, Robert, you have been a pro-life legislator. You have to vote on this bill. He said, Brother Fugit, I know I'm pro-life, but he said, it's not yet been determined when life begins. I said, you know good and well it has. God already determines it. The Bible always described a woman that was going to have a baby as a woman with children. That's exactly right, with child. I said, you have to vote for it. He said, I'm not going to. I said, I'm going to give your cell number on my radio broadcast and my television broadcast, and we're going to get calls coming to you from all over the state. He said, I just represent one county. I said, but your vote affects the whole state. He wouldn't vote, so I gave his number out. He called me and said, Brother Fugit, it's Christmas time. I can't spend any time. My phones won't quit ringing. I said, I'll tell you how to stop them. Vote for that bill. He did. It passed. And when the governor signed the bill into law, he sent me the pen that he signed it with and that bill, and it hangs on the wall. Now, you know what it is? It is a joy set before me. There are some things that are worth fighting for. There are some things that are worth sacrificing for. There are some things that are worth enduring some difficulty. Now, I want to ask you tonight, what joy is set before you? Sadly tonight, many people have no joy that they've chosen to set before them. The devil has set their joys before them. The devil has set their examples before them. They're looking at a Hollywood star or a Hollywood starlet. They're looking at a professional ball player or looking at someone that appears to be successful because of money. And you have that set before you. And most folks never get to that place. And when you do get to that place, you'll find that most of those people don't have the happiness and the joy that a Christian has that's in the will of God. And some of you tonight, you haven't determined what joy that's set before you. And I want to tell you tonight, you ought to make a decision to put some joys before you that'll help you to go through the difficulties of Christian school, that'll help you to go through the difficulties of Bible college, that'll help you to go through the difficulties of the temptations of the world and the lust of the flesh, and you keep your eyes on the joy that is set before you. And yes, sometimes you do have to endure. And yes, sometimes you do have to suffer shame. Hey, but I want to tell you something, dear friend. The joy of the will of God, it's worth the enduring. It's worth the shame. It's worth the suffering. And I want to say to you tonight, you ought to keep some joys set before you. Think tonight of the Apostle Paul. That's how he lived. You see, he allowed God to determine his will for his life. And he set that before him as a constant reminder. I read for you tonight Philippians chapter 3. This is what Paul said, Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 12. I'll give you a moment to find that passage and you can follow along. Paul set some joys before him. Now, when we talk about Paul, we talk about the things that he accomplished. He trained young preachers. He planted churches. He won thousands of souls to Christ. That's a wonderful thing. But can I tell you something? Paul endured a lot of things too. You say, how in the world, Paul, did you endure jail? Because of the joy that was set before me. Paul, how did you endure the shipwrecks and the perils in the sea? And how did you endure the beatings and the hatred that you found in many of the cities? Paul said, I had another church I wanted to start. I had some more converts I wanted to win. I had some more preachers I wanted to train. And that was worth the enduring. I'm asking you tonight, what joy set before you? Here's what Paul said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Look at it now. Do you know Jesus didn't save you to just save you? He saved you for a purpose. You think Brother Myers is different than anybody else in that God had something specific and special for him and everybody else is just different? Absolutely not. God may not call everybody to preach, but God has a will for every man. God has a will for every woman. God has a will for every person. And God apprehended you, and you ought to apprehend that thing for which he apprehended you for. Notice what he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Notice this, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or surrendered to the will of God, be thus minded. Oh, listen to me. You ought to have some joys that are set before you. I saw you fellas playing ball today, and I saw some of you, boy, you were tired and you had been playing, but can I tell you something? When you got the ball and there was nobody between you and the basket, didn't matter how tired you were, you started driving to some of you did, the rest of you shot three-pointers, and you started driving to the basket. You know why? That was the goal, the joy of scoring a basket, the joy. Hey, and listen to me. In the Christian life, there ought to be some joys that are set before you. Let me give you some things tonight that would be a good joy to set before you. First of all, the will of God. What is God's will for your life? Are you yielded to the will of God? Have you said to God, I don't want my will, I want your will to be done? Do you have the joy set before you of a godly Christian marriage and family? The joy set before you. My wife and I have been married 27 years. I remember going to ask my wife's dad if I could marry his daughter. Now, my father-in-law was a 35-year veteran Kentucky State policeman. The last time he smiled was about 34 years before that. He was a quiet man. He was a quiet man. Except at basketball games, he got livened up just a little bit. I remember going to Kentucky State Police Post 13 in Hazard, Kentucky. And he was a sergeant with the Kentucky State Police. His office was downstairs. He was what they called the administrative sergeant. I remember going in and standing at the door, and he was working at the desk, turned like this, and I was at the door over here. And I stood there for a moment. I didn't know if he saw me. I stepped into his office, and when I stepped in, he stopped working, and he turned, and he said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Well, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I came to to ask you if I could marry your daughter." He said, "No." And he turned around and he went back to work. You think it's funny, don't you? I was enduring. And so I just stood there. I thought he was just teasing and funning, and he'll turn back around in just a moment, and he'll give me permission. I stood there for what seemed to be like an eternity, and he turned back around, and he said, "Did you need anything else?" I said, "No, sir, no, sir, no, sir." So he just turned around and went back to work. I stood there. He never did turn back around, so I left. But can I tell you something? I had a joy set before me. But you did hear me say we'd been married 27 years, didn't you? And we have 5 children and 1 grandchild. Let me see. No, I don't have time to tell you about my grandson. I'll have to go on. But anyway, hey, can I tell you something? And he's a wonderful man. And he's in heaven now. Been in heaven about 4 years. And but I want to tell you something. He wasn't just going to give his daughter away. He wouldn't know what kind of fellow he was giving her to.
Come on.
But can I tell you, you ought to have a godly marriage set before you. By the way, there are going to be temptations to come to try to ruin your life and steal your purity. And you ought to decide tonight, I'm going to go to the marriage altar pure. I said, you ought to decide tonight, I'm going to go to the marriage altar pure. And I can stand here tonight and tell you that I've been with one woman in my life, and that's the woman that I've been married to for 27 years. And there is a joy in that. There is a happiness in that. And did the temptations come? Yes, they came, but can I tell you, my father and mother had helped me to set before me a goal of having a godly and Christian marriage. And there is it's worth it. It's worth setting that joy there and enduring the temptation and saying no to the devil and keeping yourself clean and pure for the blessings of God that come.
Amen.
You'll look forward to having a happy home. I love home. Home is not the place where you have a reenactment of World War II. Home is supposed to be a happy place. And I'm going to tell you something. There are no examples of that on the television. There's none. You don't want to look to that for your example. But thank God in churches like this, there are examples of husbands and wives and rearing their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now I hear folks say, well, it's hard. Can I tell you, you want to know what hard is? Go down to the county jail. They'll show you what hard is.
Yeah.
I said, go down to the county jail. Go over here to the emergency room tonight and tomorrow night and see how many folks are in there. They don't have to be there, but they gave in to the temptation of the world. They gave in to the sin and vices of the world. And they're there because of an injury they didn't have to sustain. Go down to the cemetery and see how many are there. And they died at an early age because of the foolishness and the foolish lives that they lived. I'm saying tonight, get you some joy set before you. Set some joy before you. Set the joy of the will of God before you. Set the joy of whatever God wants you to do. If God's called you to preach, a dream about building a big church for the glory of God. Go to a town where they say you can't do it. I'm just about convinced that's the best place to build a church. I remember going to Clay's Mill in May of 1991. They said, you can't build a church here, especially the way you preach. You can preach against horse racing in the mountains, but we race horses here in Lexington. They said, especially the bus ministry. They won't put enough money in the offering plate to pay for the gas. Well, now you folks in the bus ministry know if we can keep them from taking anything out, we're that much ahead. But isn't it something what God can do when we're just yielded to the will of God and we follow the plan and we do what God has called us to do and we preach His word and we love people and we win souls to Christ? I'm saying tonight, get a joy set before you. I was at Iles Anderson College as a student. My wife and I, at that time, she was my girlfriend. I remember sitting in the overhang of the balcony. And I was sitting there on a Sunday evening and I said to her, I'm going to preach with him one of these days. She thought that meant I was going to turn on a cassette tape and let him preach and then I was going to preach after him. You ought to dream big for God. Why is it that fellas that want to play basketball, they dream big? They imagine being LeBron James or imagine being Kevin Durant. They don't imagine a fella in a JV league or a C team. You think about being something big. Well, if God's called you to preach, dream big. Get some joy set before you. I remember when a preacher called and he said, Brother Fugit, I wonder if you'd come and preach in a conference that we have scheduled. He said, I already have the other speaker. And I said, yes, sir. I said, who is it? He said, Jack Hiles. I said, yes, sir, I can be there. He said, I haven't told you when it is. I said, I can be there. I remember what he said. I didn't want to prepare my sermon or preach my sermon with him in mind, but I couldn't help it. He was there. I remember what he said. When he got up to preach, he said, I appreciate the sermon. He said, but you know what matters is not how well you're doing now. It's how you finish. He said, one day I'll be in heaven looking down and the Lord tarries is coming and life goes as natural. I'll be in heaven. You'll still be preaching. I don't want you to just run well. I want you to finish well. What joy is set before you tonight? What about a happy marriage? What about a godly home? I read the stories, the life stories of great Christians and preachers of the past generation, including the Old Testament prophets and kings and the New Testament preachers and leaders, and their lives have served as great motivators. I want to do something for God. When you read the story of Elijah and praying down fire on Mount Carmel, doesn't that stir your heart to say, I don't want to just be an average. I don't want to be a failure. I want to set a joy before me that I can accomplish something in the will of God. I can do a work for God that's a life worth living. Amen. By the way, may I say that those of us who have been serving for a while, and those of us who have families, and those of us who have been in the ministry for a while, we ought to serve as an example to those that are behind us. And I want to say to you tonight, it's a wonderful thing to live life in the will of God. I'm tired of folks saying, well, I mean, you think they've been sentenced to church. I mean, you think they were on weekend incarceration. I mean, you think they was an advance agent for the devil. Can I tell you something tonight? Hey, there's joy in serving Jesus. There's joy in winning folks to Christ. There's joy in building a bus ministry. And yes, there are difficult times. Yes, there are times when you begin to build a building and we don't know what's going to happen in the future. And you expect the building to be built and finished. You didn't expect your pastor to have a stroke. You didn't expect the difficulty that you have. But thanks be to God, this church has been an example to churches across America that you are not serving because of one another. You're serving because of the will of God and you want to do a work for God. Thank God you've got a joy set before you. One day you want to hear the master say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. There's some folks, Brother Myers, would like for you to quit. I want to cheer you on. And some folks like for you to quit because they would like to say, you see, it's too hard. It's too hard. I told you it was too hard. Heard a fellow the other day talking about, well, you know, we've got to get back to building relationships instead of preaching all these rules. Can I tell you something? I'm reading right now through the book of Leviticus in my personal Bible reading that reveals the heart and the holiness of God. He's quite particular in how he wants us to love him and how he wants us to live our lives. And can I tell you something? There were some rules with the relationship of marriage. Did you hear me? That's not a bad thing. Rules are not to hurt us. Rules protect us. Rules keep us safe. Thank God for the old-time religion. Thank God for the old-time singing in this place. Thank God that ladies are dressed like ladies and men are dressed like men. That doesn't hurt the work of the old-time religion, and it never has, and it won't hurt it now. I'm asking you tonight, what joys are set before you? What joys? Elisha followed Elijah. I often am criticized because I love my heroes. I love Dr. Hiles. And I love Dr. Malone. And I love Dr. Robertson. Some fellow sent me a criticism. Of course, he's wearing a LeBron James shirt, and he says, well, you shouldn't idolize men. Well, I tell you, if I idolize some, it won't be tobacco-chewing, tattoo-covered, earring-wearing ball players living in sin. It'll be a man of God. And though they weren't perfect, and I never claimed they were perfect, but they were something that I could say, I want to follow in those steps. I want to do what God has allowed them to do. I think of young Josiah at 8 years old. He becomes a king, and the Bible said that he followed the ways of his father. That's a wonderful thing. And then 8 years later, the Bible said he began to seek the God of his father. If you don't know what to do, you just find you an example as Elisha did Elijah, and you follow those steps, or as Timothy did Paul, as Paul and Barnabas did together, and John Mark did in following Barnabas. I'm saying, get you some examples of men that you say, I want to have a marriage like that. I want to have a family like that. I want to have a Sunday school class like that. I want to have a bus route like that. I want to have a church like that. And you get some joys set before you. Now I'm going to tell you tonight, if you don't set joys before you, the devil will. The devil will. The devil will. And without even thinking about it, your hero is going to be people they shouldn't be. What joys set before? When I was 16 years old, I attended a pastor school conference. And for the first time, God really got a hold of my heart in the fact that I began to seek the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I remember getting a new Scofield Bible. And every day I would go to the backside of the mountain where we lived. I would go up on the hill on the backside of the mountain. I would sit down and I began to read through that Bible. I read the first page, and after I read it, I wrote the words at the bottom, pray for God's power. And I said, oh God, I want you to give me your power. I want to be a soul winner. I want to do your will. I read the next page, and I wrote at the bottom of the page, pray for God's power. And can I tell you something? There have been some things to endure. There have been some times of tears. You know what my goal was? My goal was to be my father's assistant pastor. I was at Bible college at Tennessee Temple in 1982. And I got the call. My dad called me and he said, son, I've been to the doctor. The doctor says I have 6 months to live. He lived 23 months. But can I tell you something? My heart's desire. It seemed as if God said to me, are you going to serve your dad or are you going to serve me? I wanted God's power in my life. I wanted to do something for God. And the truth is, I know who I am. I know where I came from. And I'm very simple. I'm a country preacher from the mountains of southeast Kentucky. I know that. But I want to tell you something. I learned to put some joy before me. I learned to hunger for the power of God, and it was worth saying no to some things that were wrong, and it was worth saying no to some things that weren't wrong, but they kept me from having the power of God. I ask you tonight, what joy is set before you? What joy is set before you? If you don't have a joy set before you, you won't endure. You'll give in to the temptation. You won't endure. The devil will sift you as wheat. He'll ruin your life. What joy is set before you? Stand with me if you will.